Today is the 6th of January. On the 8th of January, we're going to go to, or nearby, the place where the Mahendra Hill, where Hanuman crossed over the ocean. Because of that, I'd like to speak something, with your permission, that's not chronological, but rather when Hanuman comes back. So it's, but it's very logical. It's not chronological, but so first is how Ram received the message from Hanuman. And then second will be how Ravana assessed what happened when Hanuman made it to Lanka alone. And what happened after that and after that to bring us to Tirupalani. When Hanuman returned, successful, and more than successful, not only had he found Sita and reassured Sita, Ram will be coming very soon, so please hold on, whatever it takes. Ram, with a whole horde, like millions and millions and millions and millions of monkeys, will come and rescue you. Ram will redeem you. Please rest assured. So having fulfilled that wonderful mission, and Hanuman returned, so what was the next step? To inform Ram. Sita is found. Because their love is a transcendental love, and the transcendental love is the love to please the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord is in great pain of anxiety over having lost Sita. So Sita's been found. So they go quickly to Kishkindha and inform Ram. They had a little Kishkindha party first in the favorite grove of Sugriva, and made waste of the whole place with the fruits and the honey and the this and the that and partying, yay. And so the soldiers of Sugriva sent the message to Sugriva, your monkey soldiers are making a mess of your garden, favorite garden. Said, but that says something, they're celebrating. Otherwise they'd be very sad, so there must be good news. Let us hear that good news. And he brought the good news to Ram. Now, as part of culture, and it's certainly part of kingly culture, and Ram's the ideal king, when a messenger comes bringing good news, and a messenger comes bringing more than good news, but, you know, a success of a mission that he's been sent on, the good king makes a due reward of that messenger having fulfilled the mission of the king. Ram's message to Hanuman was, I'm living in the forest, I'm in exile, although I'm king. So I have nothing that I can properly reward you with. The only thing I have to offer is my love. And with his two arms, he warmly embraced Hanuman and held him strongly to his chest. And for Hanuman, there could be nothing more valuable than that. Whatever gift you might want to think of giving to Hanuman, what does Hanuman want? Such a beautiful scene. And so the joy of celebration was followed by the details of describing how difficult it was to get to Sita and the condition under which Sita was found by Hanuman. And both of those two together made another devastating, took another devastating blow upon the heart of Ram. And he entered into yet another transcendental emotion of great despair over the difficulty that Sita was in. And the difficulty to get to where Sita was, to relieve her of this situation. Now, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, with a snap of his fingers, he doesn't even have to do that. He just, you know, just a thought, a desire. It's all taken care of. So, it's just a Leela. I mean, just a Leela. It's a wonderful Leela of the Supreme Personality of Godhead experiencing varieties of transcendental emotion, love and separation, concern for the protection. He's the shelter-giving protector of all, certainly of Sita, and she's in difficulty, and he's helpless to relieve her of that difficulty. That's a transcendental emotion. And Lakshman, once again, as he has done so many times, restores the confidence of Ram. Don't sink into lamentation. A man of noble character never laments. They see the opportunity of service and taking care and find the right course and a steady mind go forward to completion of the task. The arrangement is there. There's so many warriors. Hanuman is there and I'm there and Sugriva is there. Let's go and find Sita. And so arrangements are made for the entire monkey army to go to Tirupulani, where Ramchandra, along with Lakshman and all the monkey soldiers, especially Lakshman and Sugriva, they take their bath in the sacred Chakra Tirtha. Lord Ramachandra took darshan of the Adi Jagannath deity, and he offered prayers to Lord Jagannath. He's Lord Jagannath. But he offered prayers to Lord Jagannath. Oh my Lord, you are the person by whose mercy people can cross over the ocean of material existence. I am suffering the distress of losing Sita. Please, by your mercy, let me kill Ravana and get my Sita back. I'm completely depending on your mercy. Surrendered. The ideal king. Surrendered to the Supreme Lord. Lord Jagannath responded by saying, you will be successful. You will kill Ravana. Here is the bow with which you will kill Ravana. And he presented him with a bow called Divya Chapa, or divine bow. So while in this area, if you recall, there were seven heavenly damsels that had become yaksha personalities. And they, remembering the benediction that they had received, that when Ram comes, who is none other than Adi Jagannath, he will relieve you from this curse. So they approached him. And Ram blessed them and immediately got rid of their raksha bodies. And they prayed to him, oh, my dear Lord, just as Ahalya got rid of her curse by the association of your lotus feet, similarly, we also got rid of our curse. Ahalya had been cursed as well for her misdeeds, as these ladies had been mischievous and improper in their conduct. So they got relief of that curse from the mercy of Lord Ram. with his blessings, they returned back to their heavenly position, now not just heavenly damsels, but pure devotees of the Lord. And Ram then arranged for wonderful worship of Adi Jagannath. And as mentioned, the other sage, who was a contemporary of Lord Ramachandra, Kanva, he also came here and had darshan of Lord Ramachandra. And he worshipped Lord Ramachandra and Lord Jagannath. And to his heart's content, after some time, with permission of Lord Ramachandra, he returned to his ashram, continued his devotions to the personality of Godhead for the balance of his life, and went back to Godhead. After some time, Vibhishan came. We're going to hear some more. This is just from Ramchandra's perspective. We're going to hear the other perspective from the Lanka side. But when Vibhishan came with his four assistants and approached through Sugriva for Lord Ramachandra to accept him as his devotee, he made that famous statement, "Anyone who even once takes shelter of me, saying, 'My dear Lord, from this day I am yours,' and prays to the Lord for courage, I will give him both courage and my protection forever." Now that sounds like a one-time event. And the acharyas explain not specifically in terms of this, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes, specific to the submission and surrender that comes at the time of initiation. He says it's a seed that is meant to be cultivated, and that seed that's cultivated is to grow and grow and grow, and that is to say submission increases and increases, and with that increasing of submission, then the purification of heart increases, and the realization of the object of devotion, ultimate object of devotion, Krishna, increases and increases. It's a progressive process, not merely an event. So with the Vibhishan's surrender to Lord Ram being accepted, Lord Ram requested Vibhishan to give two things: detailed explanation of the strength, as Hanuman had done, the strength of the armies of Ravana and the extent of his power and the best means to conquer Ravana from an ideal king point of view, or the duties of a king is to understand before entering into a situation of battle what is on the other side. And then he also asked Vibhishan the second question: how to best cross the ocean. Like a king may ask a minister, because Vibhishan was performing that function on behalf of Ravana. Now he's a minister on behalf of Ramchandra. Ramchandra doesn't need ministers, but he's engaging Vibhishan in that way. So Vibhishan said, as far as defeating Ram, you'll have no difficulty at all. But in order to defeat him, we'll have to cross the ocean. And since this ocean was created by your ancestors, then I suggest that you approach Varuna and request him for the way to cross the ocean. He's in charge of the ocean. So Ram accepted that recommendation. And the Darbha Shayana Ram deity indicates what he did. He suggested or requested Lakshman to gather some Darbha grass. Now normally the deity form of the Lord is resting on Anantashesha. In this case he didn't rest on Anantashesha, he's the the ascetic king who's performing asceticism by banishment in the forest for so many years. So he laid down on Darbha grass, this auspicious grass, and for 7 days, he's the Supreme Lord. For 7 days, he's requesting patiently Varuna to come and offer his suggestion and his assistance. But Varuna didn't come. And Varuna didn't come. And Varuna didn't come. Like the Jamuna didn't come when Balaram was calling for the Jamuna to come. And Balaram's eyes got red, like fire, like copper. So similarly, Ramchandra's eyes became very red. Now, there are different versions of Ramayana. One version of Ramayana is just with his eyes looking upon the ocean began to boil, because Angani Yasya Sakalendriya Vrittimanti, with his eyes, with any part of his body, he can do anything any other part of his body can do. So he didn't need anything. Just looked at the ocean in an angry mood. Transcendentally angry. We can't look at a glass of water and make it boil. Or make it become cold either. We don't have those, but Ramchandra has those powers. But another version of Ramayana is he took his Agni Astra weapon, and with this bow he fired the Agni Astra weapon into the ocean, and the ocean began to boil. In fact, steam was going in all directions, and the ocean receded for 8 miles. Pretty intense. And all the aquatics, it was so hot and intense, they were being burned. So they approached Samudra, "Help, please do something. You're our Lord and Master." So he came here to Tirupalani. And with his wife, Varuni, he offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to forgive him. Not understanding his greatness, not understanding his position. Now these are demigods. These aren't like fellows on the street. These are demigods. And so even demigods can forget. And how does that forgetfulness happen? From pride. They're very powerful and they're used to being honored and praised and doing powerful things, and they forget where their power comes from. Just like anybody that does anything in any position can easily forget where their power comes from. It doesn't matter, high, low, or in between. The same principle one is subject to. Forgetfulness of the personality of God, and you're in the soup. So that's what happened to Varuna. But Ram is very soft. And just hearing the plaintive words of Varuna, immediately accepted his apology, his forgiveness, and then requested the same question: what are the best means for crossing? And so Varuna made the following suggestion: amongst your Vanara army, there is one who is the son of Vishvakarma. His name is Nala, and he'll know how to build a bridge across the ocean. So that was pretty simple. 7 days worth of austerity, you have been reminded that Nala knew how to do it. So Ram called for Nala, and the response from Nala was, "Yes, sir, I've got my MA PhD, I've got my I know how to do it. I'll need some qualified assistance." So the whole arrangement was made for the building of the bridge, which we'll hear about when we reach that tomorrow. We'll discuss that. Yeah, where the building of the bridge. So this evening. Okay. It won't be dark out, right?
Sorry?
It will not be dark out yet?
No, no.
Okay.
Around
4:30, we'll see where the bridge began. And if you wade out into the water a little bit, you can, like, walk across. No, I didn't. We have some over-enthusiastic persons who may try to do that. But you can see in the water where the bridge was. Anyway, we'll hear that. So around 4:30, where the bridge began. So in this same location where Vibhishan surrendered, Ravana, a king will do, he has his, you know what, it's given a nice name today, called intelligence. You know, like the CIA. And the government has its intelligence force. So it's just spies. Ravana had his spies. He sent two spy messengers. We mentioned this. Sukha and Sharana. Sarana, excuse me. Not Sharana. Sarana. Sukha and Sarana. At the Adi Jagannath temple, you stand on the left-hand side and look inside, and there are two little guys in there. Oh, really?
The special permission code, you can don't step in sleeping.
Okay, well, they gave me one of these too. Wrapped it around my head, a nice little turban.
Because that is the main altar.
Yeah.
But there were nobody allowed, only you.
Only me. You can't go, but I'll tell you what's there. He asked me, don't step in, but just look around. See right over there? There's Sukha and Sarana. With their palms folded, surrendering to Ramachandra. Dorba Sharana Ram. And by the way, the deity has three lotuses coming from his navel. Or three stems. Of course, Lord Brahma. And then the sun and the moon. And then the host of 33 million demigods, they're up there too, honoring Lord Ramachandra. So when they came to this place, we'll hear a little bit more detail, but they came, A and B, spy, see what's going on. But B, you know, try to dissuade the monkeys from assisting Ram. Divide and conquer, you know that one? So the message that they were to deliver from Ram was they eventually delivered from Ram because they were told to deliver from Ram, from Ravana, was Sugriva. Hey, buddy, Sugriva, you're a dear friend. I've never done anything in transgression against you, and I am all-powerful and almighty and a great hero. What is the reason that you're fighting on the side of this ordinary mortal person? And, you know, he can't even keep track of his wife, and what's wrong with him? And come and join me, and we'll all be victorious, and I'll reward you very nicely. The Vanaras let Sukha and Sarana have it. Pounded them and took rocks and sticks and hit them and beat them and they called out Ram's name, and Ram intervened, said, no, give them my shelter. Now the way that the pujari in here said is they became devoted to Ram. Another version is they went back and, you know, informed Ravana what they were supposed to inform Ravana. You know, the unlimited numbers of hordes of monkey soldiers, and Ram is so powerful. Their advice was, you should just give Sita back. And it's over. But he couldn't hear it. Again and again and again, he was given the same advice. So that's part A. Now part B is, meanwhile, back in Lanka, Ravana is holding his head, taking a look. He's the king, and his kingdom just got demolished by one monkey. And so he, as the king, he went to appraise not only the damage to the Ashoka garden, but so many buildings have been burned, and so many great generals and thousands of soldiers, great heroes with powerful weapons, all defeated by one monkey. So he then called for an assembly of his ministers. And he called upon them, saying, so far, historically, Lanka has never been approached by anybody. We've been unapproachable, impenetrable, safe, protected. You know, like Manhattan or something. Before 9/11. Who's ever going to do anything to Manhattan? We're New Yorkers. We're powerful. We're almighty. Hallelujah. And then 9/11. It's not safe anymore. That's what happened in New York anyway. So he knew that the people were, on the one hand, you know, heroic and chivalrous and all that. But, you know, what happened? So he called his ministers, saying, what should we do? He called two minister meetings, and the first one was, what should we do? And this has never happened before, and we certainly don't want it to happen again. So what should we do? And don't just say, oh, you're so smart and you're so powerful, you can figure it out. Rather, a good king takes counsel from good ministers. And one who takes good counsel from good ministers is at the root, finds the root of success. And then he went on to describe. It's important because it comes up later again when Kumbhakarna speaks. There are three ways to take counsel. One is before you act. You very openly seek the wisest persons, most experienced persons, unattached persons, very deep, profound persons. Seek their counsel before acting. And then with due deliberation, take the right course of action. The second, where one seeks counsel, there's so many different opinions and different opinions and different opinions and different opinions. Something like what happened at the forest of Naimisharanya, where the sages had come together and nothing was happening except their faces were becoming blackened by the smoke from their sacrificial fires. There were no conclusive truths. As Maharaj Pariksit was asking them, what is it that I should do? If you read carefully in Canto 1, Chapter 19. He asked the sages who had assembled, what is my duty? And there were too many voices with no prevailing voice. It was all chaos. So from that, when you try to distill down the different opinions and come to some point of consensus and then take some kind of direction, kind of like what the GBC does, probably what the ISKCON Bureau does, something like that. We have a joke between us about this thing. And then the third is one is arrogant. One doesn't heed anything from anybody and just makes independent decisions and people can give their advice. And if you agree with the person, you're in. If you don't agree with the person, you're out. We know another person like that too. We won't mention his name or even his initials. So now you're my advisors, all very wise and intelligent. Please give me your advice. So I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But, you know, the first big voice that comes out is, Ravana, da-da-da-da, you're invincible. Let us recite the glories, Ravana. You defeated Kuvera. He was once upon a time a dear friend of yours, and you're in close harmony with him, but he just did something, said something that disturbed you, and You just soundly defeated him and you stole the pushpaka vimana. And it's now yours. And the Nagas, in their capital of Bhagavati, you descended there in a fair battle. You defeated all those powerful Nagas single-handedly. And Maya Danava, very, very powerful. Such a powerful hero. But when you approach Maya Danava, his legs were trembling. And immediately he submitted to you, and he gave his daughter in marriage to you, Mandodari. And the Kalakeyas, Rakshasas, they have so many boons like you have from Lord Brahma. They're very, very powerful. And as a mighty warrior, for a whole year you engaged in battle with them and soundly defeated them. Yamaraj, you defeated the Lord of Death. Ravana, what are you worried about? You're so powerful. Ravana really liked that voice. Then next came Prastha. Prastha said, Indrajit alone, your son, he defeated King Indra. Just, we'll stay back in the royal palace and let Indrajit defeat the entire army. He's so powerful, your wonderful son Indrajit. And Prastha said, the only way that Hanuman got away with is we weren't ready. This little monkey, and you know, we weren't paying attention. We were inattentive, but now we're ready. And I tell you, I'm so powerful, I alone can destroy the entire monkey horde. And one by one like that, they came up and boasting and bragging and chivalrous. And Durmukha, that's a nice name. Durmukha. Bad-faced. I will avenge the destruction of the generals of Ravana's army. Just give me the word. I'll destroy all the monkeys and the entire face of the planet, even the ones that hide in the ground, trying to get away from me. All these chivalrous messages. Vajradhangsa was a little more calculating. He said, he's one of his great generals, we'll go in disguise as if we're human beings. We'll say that we've come from Bharata. There's an army of Bharatas coming to assist you, and we'll lead you to where they are. We'll separate Ram and Lakshman for the monkey horde. The rest of us will kill all the monkeys, and when all the monkeys are done, then we'll kill Ram and Lakshman. We'd like a strategy, divide and conquer again. And they were going on like this. So Vibhishan gave three strong messages on three different occasions. And each time they were heeded less and then less. And then he was threatened in the final time. Vibhishan said, the rules, those who are wise when it comes to political science and warfare, they don't right away start a war. They look for other means, maybe giving gifts to the other side, maybe some kind of creating dissension amongst the other camp, some kind of diplomacy. You do those things before you do a battle. You're advisors, but I don't think you're giving wise advice to my brother. And for those who have control of their senses and are very peaceful and equipoised in their minds, you don't just pick a battle with them. Why, foolishly or without great care. Especially those that are following the path of virtue, because Dharma rakshata rakshata. Those who follow the path of Dharma, they're protected by Dharma. And you're speaking very cavalierly, very lightly about the strength of Hanuman and the monkey soldiers. He said, before he left here, there are as many soldiers who are as strong and as powerful as me, hundreds of millions of us, and we're all coming back. Don't underestimate the strength of this army. Don't underestimate the strength of Hanuman, as mentioned. He came here just on his own strength, nothing mystical, nothing mantras, no airplanes. He just jumped. His power is immeasurable. Please don't speak lightly. And worst of all, you're accusing Ram of being a person who should be destroyed, but everything that he did was in self-defense. When he killed Ravana's brother in Janasthan, he was attacked. And even if you... So Ram was just fighting in self-defense. Don't accuse him of he should be punished. And even if you think, well, he was the first one because the nose of Suparnaka was cut off first, then punish him in a fair way. But what did Ravan do? He went and kidnapped his wife. Fight in a fair fight if you think he's done something wrong. But instead this other thing is done, because this other thing has been done. It's a heinous sin. And one who does heinous sin is surely going to be defeated. And so I say, here's his concluding words, Your Majesty is nearest of kind to me. Vibhishan speaking to Ravan in this public assembly. I lay my head at your feet and pray that you take my counsel. Verily my words are true and in your best interests. The shafts of Ram are keen and hard and unfailing, like the autumn sun. Anger, this is a nice one, anger is the undoing of prosperity and virtue alike. He took one by one, you know, what Prastha said, what Indrajit said, and Vajradhangsta said, and Durmukha said, and he just dismantled it. He pulled it apart. Said, this is, they're not your well-wishers. They would speak the truth, but they're not speaking the truth. You like to hear that which resonates with your mentality, but the purpose of ministers is not just to resonate with the mentality of the person being so advised, but is to speak the truth. That's why one gets ministers. And I'm speaking the truth as your well-wisher, please accept. And he spoke so powerfully and convincingly that Ravana ended the assembly with that and said, let us think about this for the day. We'll meet again tomorrow. So that was advice number one. Then the next morning, before the public assembly, Vibhishan, because he's the brother, he had the opportunity to go see Ram directly and basically said the same thing. He said, I'm seeing so many evil omens. If you like, I can read to you what the evil omens were that he saw. This and that. Asses, camels, and mules are afflicted with some strange disease. Their hair falls off, and tears stream from their eyes. No treatment can cure them. Flocks of cruel crows alight upon terraces and domes and most hideously. Eagles are hovering in circles over the city. Jackals draw near morning and evening and howl most horribly. Wild beasts have come in crowds to the fortress gates and roar like thunder, and on and on. There's evil omens, brother. That doesn't say well. Very simple solution. Just give Sita back. Ravana gets furious. I don't see any evil omens. Everything's just fine and hunky-dory. What's wrong with you? I'm so strong. I've defeated this one. I've defeated that one. I have nothing to worry about. And so He tried. And it's reminiscent of Vidura. There's a nice section from Canto 1, Chapter 13, when Vidura is trying to counsel Dhritarashtra. It's similar, because both were so stubborn. Stubborn because they were attached to an idea, a notion about themselves that just wasn't real. Dhritarashtra, the blind king, that I'm king. And Ravana, that I'm invincible, when he's not invincible. He just liked to think of himself as invincible. He couldn't think otherwise. So what is there to be afraid of? Wherever there's omens, who cares? So the duty of a, the comment here is, it's the duty of a sadhu to speak the truth. Now, to speak the truth effectively, that's a challenge. And it requires purity and wisdom and so many other things. But one never speaks compromisingly. One speaks truthfully, honestly, from the heart. And truth prevails in the end, in any case. So when he came back into the public assembly the next morning, Ravana had already decided. His question was no longer, what should we do now that this embarrassment of one monkey demolishing Lanka? The next morning's message was, I will not give Sita back. Ram must be slain, and I'm looking for a message from all of you how to do it. That's what I want from my ministers. He just moved on. And Kumbhakarna, so we know Jai and Vijay, when they became demons, they were Ravana and Kumbhakarna, one of their lives. So Kumbhakarna had this program that he would sleep for 6 months. He didn't have very good sadhana. Yeah, after 6 months he woke up. Yeah. Oh, regulated at least. So Ravana announced that morning, good news, Kumbhakarna woke up, 6 months of sleep. So I'm going to invite Kumbhakarna to speak first. Kumbhakarna, the way that he spoke was very interesting. And I'd like to just read what he said, because it's hard to represent it properly. I'll just summarize. He said, of the three different types of counsel, you're number three. You've got it backwards, in fact. Because after already acting, you're asking us for counsel. If you had first taken our advice before incurring the enmity of Ram and Lakshman and carrying off Lady Sita, then her heart would lean towards you. You have let that time pass, and now you want our advice? Verily, this is like building a dam after having released all the water from the river. Those that consider carefully a proposed course of action, then reach a decision, then act without violating Dharma, never suffer the pangs of remorse. On the other hand, wrong actions and wrong methods are not only fruitless, they do us harm. He goes on. When a man is strong and mighty, but is erratic in his course of action, his foes recognize the impossibility of destroying him in open fight, but wait patiently for the time when he would act foolishly and without deliberation. You have, without the slightest thought, done a deed that is very, very dangerous. You kidnapped Sita. You violated a big time, a law of Dharma. And now a big time reaction is coming. And you're seeking our advice? But nonetheless, you're my brother, and I'll stand by your side. And if you doubt it, I'll tell you my prowess. And he goes on boasting about his prowess. I'll do this, and I'll do that, and I'll smash him, and I'll finish him, and look at me and this big Kumbhakarna. When he finished, Ravana was silent. He was really angry because he'd been told the truth. And a fool doesn't want to be told the truth. Although he liked the fact that he would stand by his side. So then Mahaparshva, one of his ministers, he stood up and reverentially spoke praise. Ravana, you're this and you're that. And he said, just utilize Sita however you like. Why are you even bothering with all of this? You've stolen Sita for your purposes. Use Sita for your purposes. You're powerful. Who can touch you? So Ravana disclosed why he hasn't touched Sita. He said, there's something personal I've never shared with anybody. Now I'm sharing in this public assembly. Mahaparshva, I want to reward you fabulously. You're a good guy. But here's why. Because long ago, there was an instant where an apsara was moving about here and there, and she caught my eye. And she was on her way to the realm of Lord Brahma to pay her obeisances and respects to Lord Brahma. And I just became overwhelmed with passion and lust, and I grabbed her and I disrobed her directly in a public place. And she was shocked, although she's an apsara. She was shocked, and she continued in her journey naked to Lord Brahma's abode and told everything to Lord Brahma. And then Lord Brahma found me and gave me the stern warning. Ravana, from this moment, if you lay violent hands on a woman, your head will burst into 1,000 pieces. So I don't want that to happen. And so the two choices that he gave to Sita was that either you submit. She requested a 1 year's time with the hope that Ram would come within 1 year's time. Then he told her, if after that 1 year's time you don't submit, I'll eat you for breakfast. What a nice guy, huh? And his promise, anyway, what a madman. So now Kumbhakarna has spoken, and Mahaparshva has spoken, and then Ravana has spoken. Now Vibhishan speaks, and he says essentially the same thing. Anyone who acts on the principles of adharma will be destroyed. And anyone who is prepared to make all sacrifices for the principle of dharma will always be victorious. I mean, this is you know, the message of Ramayana and the message of Mahabharata. Dharma and adharma. Struggle against good and evil. Our king is sunk in the pleasures of the senses. Cruel by nature, he acts on impulse without forethought. And you, his friends and name, are in reality his worst enemies. Forgetting his weaknesses, you encourage his cruel nature and flatter him to his heart's content. You have come to destroy the Rakshasa race. If you are true friends, group together with one mind, drag him away by the hair of his head, from unrighteousness. No, they didn't want to hear all this, to say the least. What I advise is in the best interest of Lanka, of all the Rakshasas that live so happily within its walls, of our Lord and ruler and his countless friends. He may not like it, but we must act together and restore Sita to Ram. Even if we have to keep our king under restraint. Whoa. He went on a few more paragraphs. Indrajit stood up. You're an enemy. You should be destroyed. Get out of here. Sounds familiar, right? Dushasana. Ravana became furiously angry. He said, somebody that lives as a brother but really has the interest against the interest of the brother is a true enemy. In heart, they seem to be nice, but in heart they're very cruel. He's speaking about himself. And treacherous and ready to betray at the first stroke of adversity. You too have been waiting long for the hour of peril when you can do me harm and drag me down. My brother is the one to be feared, and one should avoid such kinsmen. Let me tell you, if anyone else had spoken like this that wasn't my brother, at once you'd be dead. But I will spare you. Get out of here. Run away for your life. So, like Vidura, not only he had been insulted in return for his words of truth, but he understood there's no more service for me here. I tried and I've tried and I've tried again. I want to stand by the truth. And so he left. He rose from the assembly. Four ministers went with him, and he went straight to where Ram was, because the spies were already indicating, because they already knew even before Sukha and Sarana. Before those two came, Ravana knew. There are huge hordes of armies or monkey soldiers on the other side of the ocean waiting, trying to find a way to come here. According to Ramayana, it took 48 minutes, one muhurta, to get from Lanka to where Ram was. And the monkey soldiers saw him. They didn't know who he was yet. And here comes this man with a crown heading from the direction of where Sita is. And a huge body, big, powerful warrior, resplendent as a flash of lightning. And Sugriva and his soldiers were watching. And they were all, look at that. Who's that? What's that? Although Babishan's form and feature showed that he was no enemy, Sugriva, so much influenced by his affection for Ram, he had this tendency to be very suspicious. Even when Ram came and he's on the top of Rishamukh Mountain, he saw these two pilgrims traveling, you know, who are they? Maybe it's Bali, some trick. He's not very trusting. It's plain that he is an enemy who means no good to us. As a Rakshasa, he is cruel and he comes fully armed with weapons. It will please him to kill every one of us. Like that. So he's already got an opinion formed. And Vibhishan, he's like hovering in the air and he's hearing all this talk. So he gets the idea that he's not going to be trusted very easily. The intelligent Vibhishan marked the monkey's talking excitedly, and considered, what does it matter to me? what do these monkeys say, something nice or something not nice? Won't Ram accept me? He's the embodiment of compassion. Simply by casting his eyes upon me and seeing, knowing my condition of heart, surely he will accept me and make me his own. This is taking place right here at Tirupalani. So he came, and keeping a respectful distance, he spoke to Sugriva. And he explained his whole situation to Sugriva. He said, there is one who lives on the island of Lanka who is a very terrible person, and his name is Ravana. And his name means that he gives pain and horror and causes crying by others, and he fulfills the purpose of his name. His conduct is as cruel as his name is. He's born of the Rakshasa race. He kidnapped Ram's wife from Janastan, a great sin. He's been coveting, enjoying another man's wife, another related great sin. Again and again I petition to my brother, restore Sita to Ram. But my brother would not hear, and he insulted me, he threatened me. So I've left my home, I've left my wife, I've left my child, I've left my possessions, I've left my everything, and I've come here to take shelter of Ram. Please deliver the message to Ram and ask if he will accept me. Well, just quickly, Sugriva says what we would expect Sugriva to say. He doesn't trust him at all. So he delivers the message to Ramchandra because he's faithful. He delivers the message, but he also gives his opinion. Ram knew the heart of Vibhishan. He knew his virtue. He knew his adherence to Dharma and his adherence to truth and his devotion to Ram and his desire to reunite Sita with Ram. So what did Ram do? He did what Ravana did, at least externally, but he did it properly. That is, he consulted his ministers. And he asked for the opinions. He's already gotten the opinion of Sugriva. So he asked Angada and Sarabha and Jambavan. So they all expressed something slightly different. You know how ministers are. Everyone's got their opinion. Angada's position was basically, we should check him out first. We shouldn't like just dump him, and we shouldn't just accept him. We should allow him to associate. We'll examine very carefully his whole demeanor and his conduct, and then we'll make some evaluation. Basically, that was his suggestion. Sarabha suggested strict observation and vigilance. Watch him day and night, night and day and day and night. Check this man out. Jambavan suggested maybe he's got a motivation. He knows Ravana is going to be destroyed, that's A, and there's going to have to be a successor for Ravana after Ravana is destroyed, that's B, and he may be anxious to get the kingdom. He's got a motivation in his surrender. That was Jambavan. And Mainda said, let's just like interrogate him and, you know, ask him a zillion questions and try to get to the bottom of really what's his motivation. And Hanuman was remaining silent. So Ram called upon Hanuman. And the first thing that Hanuman did, well, three things he did. he said, everything that all these others have suggested, as far as I'm concerned, is not practical. Now, if a man is hiding something, what's he going to do? He'll say all the nice things and he won't say the other things. You interrogate him in the same thing, and you're scrutinizing him in the same thing. And so I don't accept these other, you know, the other proposals are not satisfying to me. And some statement, Jamavan, he hasn't come for the right time and the right purpose and so on. And, you know, so be it. If he wants the kingdom, maybe he's a qualified person to be the ruler of the kingdom. Maybe he should be the leader of the kingdom. If you had to live with Ravana, you probably wouldn't want to be under Ravana's rule either. He didn't say that, but, you know, I see his face, and I heard his speech, and from his face is the index to the mind, and I heard his speech. I don't see any reason at all to not accept him. And most importantly, he's come to take shelter of Ram. And Ram is all merciful. So I say we should simply just accept him. And because, like, I went and I saw for one day, you know, the everything in Lanka, he lived there. He knows everything in Lanka. And he can give so much intelligence, so much spy information. He'll be a great asset. And he's a great hero. He's a great fighter. And he knows where all the weaknesses are. We're best keeping him on our side. But most important, he's devoted to Ram. And we should accept him. Just on that basis. So Ram made his pledge. And everyone was very much appreciative of that. And then Ram turned to Sugriva and said, he loved me so much. He just can't bear the thought of some harm coming to me. So that's where his speech is coming from. He's concerned. On the one hand, he may join you, but then later he may betray you. But Sugriva, you wanted your brother slain. So please don't give fault to another person for something that may be your fault. Wanting to see your brother slain. If he's deserving to be slain, let him be slain. Ravana deserves to be slain. And Vibhishan will be a great assistant in this mission. Seldom have we found one following the rule that one should obey one's elders, though they be sinful and wicked. If every younger brother is every younger brother like Bharata, or every son like me, or every friend like you? The kingdom came to Bharat perfectly legitimately, but Bharat wouldn't accept it because he's so devoted to me. And although this benediction of Kaikeyi came to me, I accepted it because it came from my father. So those who abide by Dharma, that's the best. And as far as my understanding, Vibhishan is abiding by Dharma. His submission should be accepted. Well, he's interested in, it goes on, but his speech is not just to, like, okay, this is the way it's going to be, everybody accept it. He spoke in certain ways to, like, soften the hearts of those that didn't want, especially Sugriva, that didn't want Ram to accept Vibhishan. So that when at the end, Sugriva was happy to accept Vibhishan. He goes on, let this Rakshasa be most wicked or let him be virtuous. Either way, what can he do to me? Do you think that he can do any harm to me? Or that anyone who has taken refuge in me, or anyone who has taken refuge in such a devotee, mighty ruler of the monkey world? Do you imagine that it is you and your monkey armies that stand between me and danger? Know that without giving you the least trouble, I can destroy all the Rakshasas on earth and all the Danavas, Yakshasas, and you name it, just with the tip of my finger, it's done. I need no weapons. The other fingers need not help. Even little finger, tip, is enough. Why speak of these puny Rakshasas at Lanka? The thought of slaying them has not yet entered my mind. When it does, these Rakshasas will no more be seen. Therefore, you need not dream that any harm can come to me from this Vibhishan. Granting that he can harm me and that I can lose my life, even then, I will not turn him away from me. I must save him. Then he goes on describing this long story of one of his ancestors, Raghu, from which the Raghu dynasty was named. And he had given a promise to give protection. Maybe Vibhishan heard about this tendency of our dynasty to give protection to whoever takes shelter. Well, I'm born in this Raghu dynasty, and it's my dharma, it's my duty. As the son of Dasarath, it's my duty to give protection to others. So he goes on and persuades Sugriva to give up his reluctance. And as Ram spoke, Sugriva's suspicion was at an end. His face shone clear. Trust and faith in Vibhishan filled his heart. And then Ram said, Sugriva, go back and give the word. He was to be the deliverer to say that you'll be accepted. That tell Vibhishan you'll be accepted. Tell him, Sugriva, this Vibhishan took you as his intercessor with me and prayed to you to announce to me his arrival here. He desired your help to bring him to me. Now, if you go yourself and bring him here, the grievous sin of making him waiting so long will be wiped away. Of all the Vanaras who love me, you are the dearest to me. Vibhishan, forsaking his wife and children, has declared before us his helplessness. I who hold that show of friendship is enough for me. I have given him sanctity the very moment he said, I surrender. So, Sugriva's got it, his problem is over. And he goes and happily jumps up and down and says, Vibhishan, come, take shelter of Ram, he's accepted you. Feeling great love in his heart for Ram, because that's what calms the heart of every devotee. Understanding the compassion and the love of the personality of Godhead for all of us, not just me, but for everyone, and how equally and fairly and lovingly he treats everyone. It's not easy to see it sometimes, especially when we're deeply involved in situations, but it's what makes the heart soft and calm and peaceful. So, it's 1:30. I've already mentioned, so Vibhishan has surrendered. Sukha and Sharana come. There, that comes next. And they get beaten up and they call Ram's name. Ram gives them shelter. And Varuna, he comes and he takes shelter and gives advice to Ram how to get across the ocean. So now we're ready to cross the ocean. Having surrendered to the personality of Godhead. So these pastimes of the Supreme Lord and His devotees, they're powerful. It's not mythology. It's pastimes of the Supreme Lord to help bring us also to the position of surrender by hearing them and remembering them, especially like we were saying in Vrindavan, where these pastimes take place, there's special power and potency invested in the place, in the pastimes in these place, and the names of the Supreme Lord when we chant His holy name.